Copper Shores Community Health Foundation is excited to announce this year's community-wide picnic will be in Launce. We would love to have you join us from noon to 3 on Sunday, July 30th at the Waterfront Park in Launce for a fun-filled and free afternoon. Bring your friends, family, and loved ones. Enjoy a complimentary lunch and a variety of activities, including a pop-up farmers market, an expose for local organizations, games, live music, bounce houses, and great raffle prizes. Go to coppershores.org/picnic for more information.
It's another Sunday morning, and welcome once again to Copper Country Today. I'm Todd Van Dyke. We're brought to you by the Copper Shores Community Health Foundation. You can find out more about them at coppershores.org. It was a few months ago that we first spoke with Anne-Marie Pastor, who is the director of the Finlandia Foundation. That happened as the Finlandia University situation unfolded, and we wanted to make sure that the things that were associated with the Finnish American Heritage Center were going to be safeguarded and preserved for generations to come. And it was the Finlandia Foundation that stepped in and continues to step in to help make sure that those treasures are preserved. So, Anne-Marie, welcome back to the program. It's good to talk to you again.
Oh, thank you for having me. Glad to be here again.
Let's recap a little bit about the Finlandia Foundation, because I think there are still some people confused by the similarity in names. Finlandia University, Finlandia Foundation. You were not and never have been affiliated, have you?
That is correct. We have not been affiliated with Finlandia University at all. We may have supported some of the students in form of scholarships and such, but just a direct attachment to the university, that has not been existing.
So what is the Finlandia Foundation? Give me a little history and a little bit about what your mission is.
Well, we were founded 70 years ago in Pasadena, California, and we are there to connect and strengthen Finnish communities across the United States. And I would say that this was founded by Yrjö Paloheimo and Wainer Hoover, and they were two wise men who recognized that it was important for generations of immigrants to understand and respect our roots in Finland, and even while adapting to a life in the United States. So now, 7 years later, we are probably the largest independent supporter of Finnish culture and heritage and contemporary Finland in America. This is what we do through our grants and scholarships and different diverse and other relevant programs.
And you work through some regional chapters. There's a regional chapter that serves our area, as I recall. And I didn't, frankly, know a lot about this until we first talked a few weeks ago. But I know that they were sponsoring a dance in Ishpeming last Saturday, and they have some activities that are going on in this area. How many of these regional chapters do you have in the U.S.?
We have nearly 60 member organizations in about 25 states and Washington, D.C. So we are covering pretty much at least half of the country.
We think of ourselves as being in a very Finnish-oriented area, and I think correctly so. What other areas of the country are also strong in terms of Finnish immigration and obviously now Finnish descendants?
Well, Michigan obviously is one of the top names, but also Minnesota. We have then Oregon, Washington State. You go to Florida, it's a different population. So it is across the board. And I shouldn't forget my own state, Massachusetts. We have a huge population of Finnish descent there.
What brought Finns to other areas? I mean, we know that it was the mining, for the most part, that brought Finns to this area. I don't recall there was a lot of that, for example, in Massachusetts and some of those other areas. Do we have an idea why Finns gravitated to some of those other regions?
I have my personal opinion. I think that they were going after finding jobs. So I think that that was the key element. And Finns have always been hard workers, and they want to be self-sufficient. So they went after jobs. That's why. And probably climate.
Well,
if you're thinking about the locations, I think that the northern states are more prominent than southern states. like later on, obviously, there has been different kind of immigration. If we talk about California and Florida, for example, but early days, I think they were going after jobs as well as climate and pine trees and spruce trees, probably.
Well, and I suspect some of those southern areas, such as Florida and California, that may have been a secondary stop for a lot of these Finnish families who, once they got here, then moved someplace else because of, they started looking to retire in warmer places, things of that nature. And so we got kind of these secondary developments, perhaps, where Finns congregated.
That is correct. So, They might have landed first in the northern states and then later on moved to the or they are just wintering in warmer climates.
Proving that even Finns can get sick of snow, I guess. So
I think so. Yeah, I think so too. But at least I can only talk about myself. But skiing is not in my veins.
So the Finlandia Foundation found out about the impending closure of Finlandia University. Why did you think it was so important to step in and prop up the Finnish American Heritage Center, which was part of Finlandia University?
Well, I think that first of all, we were this started in March, and we discussed this within our board, and it was important to everybody, and this is exactly why we exist here. This is our mission to support and protect Finnish heritage and history, or Finnish American Finnish history. And I wouldn't even call it only Finnish American history or Finnish history. It's also American history. And I think Finlandia Foundation, this is exactly our role. This is what we are supposed to do. And that's why we stepped in right away. We had a unanimous support of all of our board members. And this is important. This is personally, I'm not doing this for myself. I'm doing this for future generations and for my own grandchildren.
The Finnish American Heritage Center obviously has employees. It has ongoing expenses. How much is this costing your organization at this point to keep that operation going?
It's costing us lots of money, and that's why we are actually building now an endowment. We have a fundraising campaign going on because it is important that this becomes operational in a way. Like, this is not like a one-time thing. This is an ongoing project, and we want to build on it. We want to make sure that this stays alive, and also it becomes available to larger audiences. But it's costing money, and we have a good group of benefactors who are stepping into this. We need more, and it's an ongoing process.
That actually leads into a question I was going to ask later on, but I'll bring it up now. This obviously is going to cost money, and it's going to cost money into the indefinite future, obviously, if the organization continues. What can we do here in the Copper Country, where we get the most benefit from this operation? What can we do to help make sure that this continues indefinitely?
Well, obviously, the local support is extremely important. Early May, I visited Hancock, Michigan, and met with numerous local people. And it's important. Word has to go around. People have to participate in the events. Go and see the museum. Go and see the archives. It is important. This is also, Finnish American Heritage Center is also part of the National Park Services. So this is impacting many levels, and let's get tourism in. I think that it's important to get the people out of state to come, and not only to showcase the Finnish American Heritage Center and what it contains, but also the entire area. But really talk about it and advertise it everywhere. And I don't any fundraising events that you can arrange, it is important. We have to keep this alive.
Well, and the rich history of this area in general is certainly not entirely Finnish, but it is certainly strongly tied to that Finnish immigration wave that came in the late 19th and early 20th century. So it is a critical part of what we look at here in terms of a tourism economy that's based on history and the National Park Service that you mentioned. Talking with Anne-Marie Pastor, who is the director of the Finlandia Foundation, let's bring everybody up to speed now as to where this process is. You have been able to acquire at this point all of, I guess, what we would call the assets of the foundation. What does that include?
Well, it's a Smithsonian of Finnish America, I would say. It consists of archives, which has like over 40,000 pieces of the past, oral history, newspapers, artifacts, and different family histories. It includes the Finlandia Art Gallery that has lots of important Finnish artwork. It has a Finnish American Reporter, which is a fantastic newspaper, still on paper, that is part of the project. Large collection of Finnish glass art, and I mentioned the oral history collections already. It has book collections, including Christina Bibles, that were the first Finnish translations of the Bibles. So it has enormous amount of materials. It also has the Price of Freedom Museum, which is the war museum from the Second World War. It includes lots of different pieces and memorabilia from the war. And how important these are, because it's not like it's not to admire war, but it's about the result, like how important it is and to keep what it took to save independence in Finland. So it's a huge collection of different materials.
I think we see here in the Copper Country, in many cases, only the tip of the iceberg. We see the activities that the Finnish American Heritage Center is involved with. I played with the backroom boys at our annual Juhannus celebration, mm-hmm. where we raised the Midsummer Pole several weeks ago. And I've been involved with our winter celebration, Heikinpäivä, for many years. We see these things, and we see the classes being offered by the Finnish American Folk School. We don't see all of the things that you talked about, all of these archives, all of these treasures, we don't see them on a regular basis. So I want to make sure, and thank you for outlining that for us, I want to make sure that people understand that this is not just a local thing that we are supporting here. This is something that supports Finnish research and for basically scholars around the world, doesn't it?
That is correct. And then, obviously, everything is located in Hancock, Michigan right now. Our next project, and it's a larger project, will be to digitize the records so that we are going to make all of these records accessible to the researchers and other people across the globe. So if we are building a good online presence, that is extremely important. And that also will give a name for Hancock and Finnish American Heritage Center itself. We are planning also some traveling exhibitions. Maybe it's not only that we have a museum pieces in Hancock in Heritage Center building, but we will be able to showcase exhibitions across the country. And I think that is important also, like, so that more people don't need to travel to one place to see it. But we are providing this service and then working with other museums cross-country to make this happen.
You, I suppose, can facilitate some of this through the various regional affiliates and organizations that you have throughout the country. You've got a network ready to put in place?
That is correct. So we have, our own chapters, but also we are building building a different network or larger network also with different Nordic museums or universities and such, so that this becomes even more prominent.
Talking with Anne-Marie Pastor, who is the director of the Finlandia Foundation, the assets have been acquired. What about space, the actual property, the building? Where do we stand on that process?
Well, you're right. Like, assets have been now secured, and I have to say that this is just the beginning of this multi-phase plan. So the next phase is trying to ensure that we will have a right home for these materials. And we have been working with architectural firms and engineering firms to figure out what's the right place. And right now, we believe that Heritage Center would be the right place for these, and we are negotiating with the receiver, and hopefully we will get to some sort of a conclusion in a near future. Because I personally feel that the materials are at home right now. Some may say that Hancock is far away from every place, but so is every other place. This is a big country, so every single place would be far away. But we are working on this, and we have secured the staff also. We have figured out all the administrative issues, insurances, payrolls, banking, and you name it. So we hope that we will find a home there in Hancock, and we can conclude the negotiations with the receiver.
Well, my vote is to have you stay here because we value this organization here in the Copper Country. I was, I was this past weekend kind of heavily involved in some of the things that go on. I talked with Claire Zuroff from the Folk School. She was very excited about the grant that they got to offer some classes coming up this fall. I was out at the Aura Jamboree. I'm not sure if you're familiar with our little Aura Jamboree in the area, but among the musical performers we have there, a lot of traditional Finnish performers. And then this past Sunday, a week ago as we broadcast this, I was at the South Range Eagles Hall. We had our annual Finn Day there, and the band played, and we had a great turnout with people doing a lot of traditional Finnish dances, things of that nature. So This is the kind of thing that we enjoy doing here in the Copper Country. I do have to say, though, and I want to talk about this a little bit with you, and as I go to these things and I see these people that I have seen over the years who have worked so hard to keep Finnish traditions and, in my case, Finnish music alive, we're getting a little gray at this point. We're getting a little gray, and have you done any thought on your point, on your side of this, as you talked about making these exhibits more available to people? How do we bring the next generation into this as the Finns become, you know, a little bit farther away from their immigrant roots? How do we keep that spark of interest alive in the next generations?
Yeah, that is a million-dollar question there. Like, at Finlandia Foundation, we have, we just hired an executive director who is not gray, but a younger gentleman. We have a young leaders board, and we use them as like an advisor group, as a subject matter expert, as being young. It is true. Like, I think that, first of all, like, digitizing the materials. People work online. People don't travel that much to go to see the museums. I think that if we can make it attractive, if we can make an attractive online presence, I think that is one step towards the large audience, and not only the gray audience. Somehow we have to really brainstorm this whole concept to make it more attractive to the next generation, and so that they see it as relevant. Because I think that is we have to ask them. I think that we have to really work closely with these young people and ask them what is it that they are expecting, and work with that. Because it's what we may think is the right thing to do, it may not be the right one. So using young people as a sounding board on our decision-making, I think that's important.
Has the recent uptick in genealogical research helped to spark any interest amongst that younger generation? We have, you know, millions and millions of people across the country who are affiliated with online genealogical websites. I've done a lot of research on my own family tree. Is that something that we can use to help spark that interest?
I think that that is one of those things. And I think that genealogy in general, it's again one of those things that older people are more interested in finding all the far past ancestries. This is a very difficult question. We just have to figure out for young people. I think that connecting with Finland, like Finland is a big name right now. So I think that the current news from Finland, like joining the NATO and being a part of the world stage, and Finnish music, current music, connecting with that side also at the same time than when talking about the past, I think that we just have to bridge that somehow, because Finland is extremely relevant right now, and everybody talks about Finland, and it's not like it used to be, like when you say that you come from Finland, nobody knew where it is, or if we are using Cyrillic letters when we are writing. But nowadays, people really are excited about Finland, and especially young people. And I think that if we are bridging the past with the contemporary Finland, I think that that might be the key for something for the future. And we also have to remember that every day we are making history. It's not only what happened 100 years ago. Today is somebody else's history. So time goes on.
Yeah, the NATO situation with Finland obviously has put that nation right at the top of the news cycle for the last several months. But Finland has, over the last couple of decades, really become a nation that has had a lot to offer in terms of the example that it's set. It's ranked really, really high in terms of quality of life. Good things have happened in Finland, and there are people looking at that country right now saying, hey, what have you guys done, and how can we do it? So Finland, I suppose, here kind of lose track of that. We look back at the history that dates back to when our ancestors came here to the Copper Country. We tend to lose track of the fact that Finland is one of the most modern and progressive nations on the face of the earth right now.
That is exactly right. And the quality of life issues are huge, specifically for the millennials and younger generations, and they value those immensely. So I think that we have to kind of like think about lessons learned from Finland and use that as an example. If it's about a vacation or a work culture or home life or whatever it is, I think that an education in general. So I think that those are extremely valuable and important for younger folks, as well as old, but still.
And as you mentioned, if we can digitize what is in the archives there, if we can make those available to a much wider audience than we've been able to make in the past, then perhaps that opens up some curriculum for school-age kids in areas that have a good Finnish heritage such as ours. It offers a whole different vista now for people of Finnish heritage.
Exactly. And we can create, or schools can create school projects, and every elementary school and middle school, they have like nationality days, and having materials like this available. And I'm not talking about high academics, I'm talking about now lower academics, like little kids. But it's still, to have that all available, I think that will be great. And then obviously we should never forget our own sauna
No.
Sauna culture either.
No, and how to pronounce it properly. So
Exactly.
That's important.
That's how you become a friend of Finland or Finnishness when you learn to pronounce it correctly. You become an honorary Finn right away.
Anne Marie, if folks want to know more about the Finlandia Foundation or maybe want to support this effort financially or in some other fashion, how do they learn more about you? Do you have a website?
We have a website. It's finlandiafoundation.org. You can find all the information there, and we keep you updated there all the time. Also, next week, we are going to be in FinFest. There's a good team participating from Finlandia Foundation there, and we are also having on Friday, I believe, we are having an informational session so people can come and hear the stories, and we will have a little presentations there, what we have done and what our plans are.
Yeah, FinFest coming up this coming weekend as we air this on Sunday morning in Duluth, and I will be there playing, so I hope that I will see you there.
Yes, I hope so too.
Anne Marie Pastor from the Finlandia Foundation, thank you for appearing again on Copper Country Today.
Thank you so much for having me.